Yeah, it's great to be here as always. I hope things are well over in your part of the world.
So far, so good, my friend. And so let's talk about Keith Butler. Near the end, Dick LeBeau wasn't calling defenses. Near the end, Keith Butler wasn't either.
Yeah, this opens up a lot of things that have been happening for a while, and it's not necessarily public-facing information, and it's not even necessarily that it's a big deal one way or another. But a head coach, certainly one who's been around for a long time. In this case, let's take Sean Payton. Sean Payton is retiring or quitting literally as we're talking now.
Right.
Sean Payton has been calling plays in New Orleans for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a secret. It's not something they necessarily divulge or dive into. But Mike Tomlin has been as successful as Payton. He is more of a defensive coach and has been. He took that role over probably after Dick LeBeau left, because Dick LeBeau is a legend, and no offense, but Keith Butler is not. Tomlin is the one who is held to a certain standard. He's the one who was paid a lot more money, and the coordinators tend to report to the head coaches. So Tomlin, if you want to call it this, pulling rank and saying, I'm going to call the defense on a first-year coordinator, really shouldn't be seen as all that much of a surprise. It kind of depends on who the coach is and how they want to do things, but it's not out of the ordinary at all to have coordinators who don't call plays in the NFL. A lot of them don't, especially with like the veteran coaches. You're going to see that pretty often. It's not all the time, but it's not a surprise that Mike Tomlin has been calling defensive plays. What I would challenge people with is asking how much that really matters. If Tomlin was the defensive coordinator, why is Keith Butler there at all? He obviously was. He's obviously being paid. He must have some role, right? Instead of giving us his wonderful half an hour long press conferences every week, there's something they expect him to do. He is putting together all of the defense based on what they have. He is making sure the position groups know what the bigger picture is, what they're trying to accomplish. He's aware of the depth at every position. He has to know all that stuff so he can draw up what's there, what they're going to do. And all of this stuff is decided in the offseason. They don't do it week to week. You don't just change your defense week to week. You have to have stuff that you've practiced, that you are aware of, that you're comfortable with. It's not as easy as, you know, taking a 700-page playbook and scrolling to a page and throwing your finger on it. You have to know what you're up against. But to get to that point, you need to do a lot of work. That's what the coordinator is doing most of the time. Tomlin is working in concert with Butler and to some degree with Matt Canada as well to go over what they want to do for each opponent during the season. In the off season, it's what we're good at, what we want to build strategically, how we want to improve this team, what we're going to do. So they're laying the foundation for all of that. The head coach is involved every step of the way of both of those processes. And to suggest otherwise is a fundamental misunderstanding of what NFL teams do and how they are structured. So it's the only thing here in my mind is the reveal, which wasn't intentional and was not done by a current Steelers employee, that Mike Tomlin was calling plays. That's something that, frankly, we've known about, but it's not something you talk about openly because it just the team probably doesn't like it all that much. The idea, more than anything, is they're working on these things together, and there is not a team in the NFL in which the head coach is oblivious to what one side of the ball is doing.
Right.
They're involved in everything. So if it is Tomlin calling the plays, which I know that he is, he's the one leading that on game day. But Butler is primarily responsible with putting all of the plan together based on the general philosophy of the team, which is it's a Kevin Colbert thing, along with Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Steelers, Rooney is involved with that as well. So they have a partnership, they have a collaboration, and they've operated like that for a long time. They're comfortable with it. The results, to some degree, except for this year, have been pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. So I would imagine that they don't want to bring in a first-year coordinator and have them call plays over Tomlin. I think he's there for a reason. They gave him an extension for a reason. This is what he wants to do. That's what they're going to do.
Okay, so we've now watched in this era, there have been the 11 overtimes, 10 of which the team that won the coin toss won the game. 7 of those 11, the team that won the coin toss won the game on their first possession. That includes Sunday. So those are the stats, just so everybody knows. So calling tails is the biggest mistake Josh Allen made the entire week. The NFL is the only professional sport that I know of where both teams don't get shots at it. Should the NFL change its postseason overtime rule?
I think it's a really layered subject, and the stats don't lie. That's kind of the thing. I'll say this. If we were to ignore the output that we've seen to this point, I would say primarily this is an issue of fatigue. It's an issue of injury risk, and it's an issue of broadcast partners wanting to get on with the sweetest plum, which is the postgame show. Whether we as fans like that or not, you have to respect that the league is in this for a profit, and the networks are paying over a decade billions of dollars now for the rights to these games. They want to make that money back. Yeah. So that's the direction the league wants to go. It's going to operate accordingly. And at the same time, I don't think that it diminishes the product on the field very much. And I can say that because as fun as the game was, there is a difference between arguing for fairness versus arguing for entertainment. I would have liked to have seen the game go on. You know who wouldn't? Probably every player that was on the field at that point.
Right.
Playoff football is not a walk in the park. It's not leisurely and fun the way that the fans think that it is. It's brutal. And those teams were... they were beating each other up pretty badly.
Right.
You saw it. It's not – here's another thing. I'm not trying to go off the rails here, but
– oh, no, go ahead. No, we're having fun with it.
It's great to see a great player like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes making plays. The defenses were gassed. Both of them were just dead.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree with that.
You saw Mike Hughes. His ankles might have broken. I'm not sure. It wasn't a great move to his inside. He's completely dead. Okay? He's tired.
Yeah.
That's why he slipped and fell. I have no clue what Leslie Frazier was calling at the end of the game. I have no clue. That's not great football. Just because Travis Kelce makes a 25-yard play does not mean it's a great play. Mm-hmm. Okay? And people get stuck into this mindset that offense means quality. The end of that game, objectively, was terrible. It was really, really bad. So the idea that somehow or other, from a metaphysical level, Josh Allen was owed a possession in overtime makes zero sense to me at all. It comes down to a coin toss. I don't know where you draw that line exactly, but I also know that football is an attrition game.
Right.
You take possessions, okay? You earn possessions. The coin toss thing, I get that it seems weird. Give me another proposal that can make up for the fact that the players at the end of an extremely violent, competitive game are able to go out and play well. They're able to protect themselves as well. Basketball, you can be fatigued for sure. You are not running nearly the risk of injury if you're tired in basketball as if you are in football. Okay? You can't do it all that much differently than what it is right now. You cannot have them play an entire other quarter of football. You can't shorten the clock and then give out possession to somebody. All of these things come with caveats that have legitimate problems that go beyond fan entertainment. That's why they have the system that they have. And I get that it seems silly. I don't think there is a better way to do it. I think there are a million different ways, and they're not going to change it year to year. They're going to want what appears to be the most reasonable outcome. To me, and I've said this before, to me, a fair is a place you show pigs in August. Okay, it's not in football. That's not the way the game is designed. There's a coin toss at the beginning of the game that nobody cares about at all. The coin toss in overtime gets everybody up in arms because now suddenly both teams deserve a chance to get the ball. I don't understand why. It's not Josh Allen's fault that their defense gave up 42 points, but it absolutely is the Buffalo Bills' fault. Who's the game being played for? The Bills or Josh Allen? Okay, it's a team game. At some point, you have to step up and make a stop. And the Bills just flat out couldn't do that. Would that have happened to the Chiefs too? I don't know. Maybe. So you flipped a coin. It's 50-50 for both sides. What else do you want to do that makes sense? I have yet to hear a proposal that makes any sense. It covers fatigue. It covers length of game. It covers safety. It's just there's not much else you can do. And I get that people are all up in arms, but this is just not – it's not worth it. At some point, you have to step up and stop a team from scoring. And clearly, Buffalo was not able to do that at the end. This is why we saw the amount of scoring that we did at the end. It's not because just solely that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are fantastic players. They are, no doubt. But they were playing against completely depleted defensive teams. It was over at that point. You hoped the game wouldn't have to go into overtime, but you can thank Buffalo for that again. That again is their fault. It's not Josh Allen's problem, but I'm not putting the loss on Josh Allen either. I put the loss on the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, no, the loss does belong to the Buffalo Bills, especially defensively, because you know you should be able to defend 75 yards in 13 seconds. You should. You're talking to somebody who did 9 overtimes, seven of which were 2-point conversions. So,
yeah, exactly.
So I'm a witness to, and to be honest with you, I think the 2-point conversion thing, I know why they did it. Because LSU and Texas A&M from the 25-yard line did 7 overtimes. I understand that. So it's one play, one play, one play, one play. But after broadcasting it, it's ridiculous.
It's just it's an arcade game, you know. We're playing a video game version of the sport, right, that they just spent.
It's penalty shots. It's PKs in the World Cup.
And that you know, I'm going to get into that. I've had conversations with people about it. I'm not a big soccer fan. I respect the game.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that games like that end on penalty kicks. Now, to be fair, I don't know what else you could do in soccer.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's not a sport that you score.
I mean, you can't sit there and start on Wednesday and on Friday they're still playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that could last as long as World War II in some cases. You have to be able to end it somehow. It's beside the point, though. Football is the middle ground. It's not the scoring of basketball. It's not the scoring of soccer. In between that, possession is, with the exception of one coin toss that decides the possession of the start of the first half and the second half, you are actively battling for possession. That is the game. So I don't know another way to do it. I've heard people say, well, the last team to score. Why? That's completely arbitrary. That has nothing to do with anything at that point. The last team to score could have been in the first quarter. You know, like look at the San Francisco Green Bay game. If that went into overtime, why should San Francisco get the ball because they block a punt and somebody fell out of the end zone? That doesn't mean anything. At least a coin toss is 50-50. But either way, whatever way you do this, you can argue it the same way that you do because you want the game to continue. It's whatever team is at fault. And to me, that's not what this is about. The only way to do it objectively, and I understand how silly it is to flip a coin. And they get away with it to that degree. Should both teams have a possession? No. Why? You know, they do the most that they can to make sure in today's game, you can't three incomplete passes, chuck up a heave and pray 40 yards down the field, get a 55-yard penalty, and set yourself up for a 59-yard field goal to win a game in overtime. That's dumb. I think everybody would agree that that's a silly outcome to an overtime game on the first possession. Mm-hmm. You eliminate that possibility. Kansas City did not win the game because they won the coin toss. They won the game because they went 75 yards in 4.5 minutes, and Buffalo did basically nothing to stop them that entire time.
Right. Yep.
That's it. It's not the coin toss. Mm-hmm. It's your defense. And you lost. It's tough. I know. Kansas City lost the same way to New England a couple of years ago.
Yes,
I'm sure
exactly.
They were upset
yes.
about it then.
Yep, exactly.
It's gonna happen. I get it. It's going to happen. I don't think there's a better way to do it. You know, I don't think that there is. But you know what? How about this? Root for the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh doesn't believe in overtime. He wants to win the game straight up. Maybe that's the best way to do it. I'm not.
Always a pleasure, my friend. I know you'll bounce back to 100% shortly.
I'm gonna. That's my plan. Thanks for having me, guys.